Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving yesterday. I hope that you had a great time, and I hope you were able to enjoy some time with your family. I know the governor and different ones were trying to put the kibosh on Thanksgiving here and tell people they can't have anybody over and can't travel and have to visit family and things like that. But hey, Thanksgiving is one of those times sometimes it's the only time of the year that people are able to get together with family members and friends and all that. So I trust that you had a blessed Thanksgiving and you're able to enjoy all those turkey leftovers. Well, I'm going to go ahead and talk about a little bit about Thanksgiving and the importance of giving thanks, especially as we reflect on the day. And before we do that, let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father and Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We just pray that you bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody, Lord. And just pray that if there's somebody that's searching, that we could point them to Christ, that they might be able to put their faith in him and be able to give thanks, knowing that Jesus Christ is their personal Lord and Savior. Again, we just ask that you have blessed the program. Use it for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And just want to let you know, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find, amongst other things, some of our past programs. And before I get into today's program, I do want to mention that, encourage you actually to check out our program from last week. We had Gary Kah on with us again. We were talking about the Great Reset, globalism, and the coronavirus. And if you did not get a chance to hear that, you'll want to take a listen to that. Go to our website at Live with Pastor. Get my tongue tied here. livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can go down, scroll down on the right-hand side of the page. You'll see, listen to a previous Live with Pastor Al program. And right there under the Friday column, Friday, November 20th, you'll see it right there. Click on that, and you can listen to that excellent program. And we'll be doing some more, hopefully, in the coming year with Gary Kah. All right, well. Of course, you can also find out more about our church. You can click on the links there to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and we do have our Friday night Bible study on tap for tonight. It's not been canceled for Black Friday. We are planning on being there. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. It's midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. And we also have our Sunday services there every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock is our morning Bible study. We don't get started right at 10. We got to wait for the coffee and everything, get ready. But the morning service is at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the book of 1 Timothy. And then our Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. And I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. Our Bible study on Friday nights tonight, as always, is pretty much driven by the questions of the people who come. And it's the same format that we've used for many years. We've used it on our radio program, especially our Sunday night program. And if you've not listened, we're on every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight, live program. And we encourage people to call in with questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And on Friday afternoon, we don't typically get too many people who want to call in, so we don't do the calling as much. So it's more of a Bible study usually on Friday afternoon, or talking about what's happening in the world. And with all that in mind, and Thanksgiving just being here. I wanted to share some thoughts today, looking at the importance of being thankful or giving thanks and what the Bible has to say about that. And as I was looking at this, I thought of, here's three psalms. In the book of Psalms, there's three in a row, and each one of them tells us to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 105 is the first one, and they're right here in a row. Psalm 105, where the Bible says in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." Then Psalm 106, also in verse 1, says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." And then we have in Psalm 107, in verse 1, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And, you know, I thought about these three verses here in Psalm 105, Psalm 106, Psalm 107, and as I was thinking about them, you know, there's a thing that you learn when you're trying to understand the Bible, that when the Bible repeats something, it there's an importance to it. It's important enough if it's in the Bible. God didn't put it there just to fill up space. Everything in there is profitable. Every word the Bible says is profitable, but in this particular series of Psalms, 105, 106, 107, but all of them start the same way, about giving thanks to God. And I just wanted to take a few minutes here today to think about this. In verse number 1 here in Psalm 105, the very first phrase is, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And that reminds us of who we ought to be thankful to. There's none of us that live. There's nobody listening to this program, myself, none of my family, none of my friends, nobody that I've ever met, nobody you've ever met, has ever come into existence on their own. We all owe our very existence to God, the same God that created the heaven and the earth, the same God that spoke everything into existence that is, that same God made in an act of special creation you and me and everybody else. We exist because God wanted us to exist. Now, when we look at this, "So give thanks unto the Lord," that's where our thanks ought to be directed, because not only does our existence come because of him, but the Bible tells us in the next phrase here, the next clause of this verse, "Make known his deeds among the people." And when we consider this, we have to remember what God has done, the things that he's done for us. Remember Moses when they crossed the Red Sea and the Egyptians were drowned in the waters as the waters came back in upon them. And before they had crossed the sea, they were up against the waters of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was coming after them. Pharaoh was going to kill them. They were fearful. They had nowhere to turn. Moses went up on the rock, and he stretched out his staff over the waters, and God caused a strong wind to blow, and the waters went back. And the Bible says that the Hebrews went over on dry land. Now, it wasn't the marsh sea, like some people try to say, where they went across in some marshy area, which, you know, brings up its own problems. I've said many times before, when people try to explain away the miracles of the Bible, they usually come up with explanations that are, they're more hard to believe sometimes than just accepting the miracles and what God has done there. But as they went up on against the Red Sea there, and getting back to the marsh sea thing, the Egyptians drowned in the marshy waters, while, you know, these hardened soldiers all drowned in the marshy waters, while all the Egyptians, men, women, and children, old people, young people, and all their animals made it through just fine. That kind of stretches the realms of credibility there. But what happened in Exodus chapter 14? as they were there. It says here in verse 10, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? And they're murmuring and complaining here against Moses. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And as they're complaining, the Bible tells us in verse 13 what Moses does. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thou thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel should go through on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, that is interesting, because when they go through, not only were the waters put back, they didn't have to slog through mud. I remember thinking about that when I was little, thinking, boy, you know, if they push the waters back, it's going to be muddy. Well, it said they're going to go through on dry land and dry ground. And that was because God wanted to make a pathway for the Hebrews to deliver them. And then God continues in verse 17, Behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Well, we know how God prevented the Egyptians from coming there. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The waters went back by, it says in verse 21, a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And then we read in verse 23, that the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire in the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And it says in verse 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. So God worked this mighty miracle here. And it says in verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, this has got to do with thanksgiving. Give thanks unto the Lord, the Bible says. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. And the next thing that we see when we go back to Exodus and chapter 15, the next chapter, it starts in verse 1 saying, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him and habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And it goes on with this song, and in this song, what they're celebrating are the deeds of the Lord. They're making known his deeds among the people as they're giving thanks to God, praising God, and thanking him for this tremendous victory that they had, the deliverance that they had from certain death. There was no way humanly possible they could have escaped. They were trapped along the shores of the Red Sea, the Wadi, the dry valley, river valley that they had come through. It was blocked by the Egyptians. There were mountains and rough terrain on either side. Maybe a few of them could have escaped, but it would have been a bloodbath had the Egyptians been allowed through. And God prevented them. He stood between them. The pillar of cloud and fire stood between the Egyptians and the Hebrews. And then as the sea waters went back and the wind blew and the ground dried and the people advanced across the sea and they crossed the sea on the dry ground, as the Bible said, they arrived in on the other side. And when the waters came back and their enemies were defeated, they praised God and made known his deeds among the people. That's Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Here's Psalm 106. Psalm 106 starts a little differently. It starts with, praise ye the Lord. And oftentimes when we're thanking God, we're praising God. We saw that back in Exodus there, where they were praising God as they were making known his needs, and they were thanking him for the mighty deliverance that they had experienced. Praise ye the Lord. And then it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And when we think about what God has done for us, when we think about the blessings that God has given to us, we ought to praise God. You know, when we think about Thanksgiving as a holiday, it's kind of an interesting holiday when you think about it. We attribute it back to the pilgrims who arrived in this part of the world about 400 years ago, actually. They arrived in Plymouth, Massachusetts, in November of 1620, 400 years ago this very month. And the interesting thing is that when they were there, before getting off the ship, they were on the Mayflower, and before getting off the ship, they made a compact. And this compact, the Mayflower Compact, in this, they recognized that God had brought them safely over, and they recognized their obligations to God. But I don't know if I have quite time to go through the whole thing, but let me just give a little of the Mayflower Compact. It begins, in the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign, Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic, for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience, in witness whereof we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th. 54th, Anno Domo 1620. Well, this is the Mayflower Compact, and this is one of the things they recognize, that God had brought them over here. God had led them to the shores of the New World, and they were going to plant something there, and they praised God for the safety there. Of course, they were in for a rough time that first winter, and then it was after that winter they had a feast, and that's what we normally attribute our first Thanksgiving to, of course, is the feast that occurred, a harvest feast the following year in 1621. As they thank God again and for all that he had done. And when we think about this, we see things that recognize what God has done, and they're incorporated even into the founding documents. And yes, the Mayflower Compact is a founding document of our country. It is something that undergirds a number of things, a number of statements that were founded in the colonies or promoted in the colonies and ultimately came to us in the Declaration of Independence and then the United States Constitution. And when we think about these things, we ought to praise the Lord and give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. When we think about the country that he's given to us, yes, we're going through a difficult time right now. And if you read the Constitution, especially the 12th and 14th Amendments, it's very clear that what we're going through and what President Trump is challenging is not unconstitutional. It's according to the Constitution. And we thank God that he's given us a body of law, a constitution that we can follow. We praise the Lord and we give thanks to him, for he is good. And more important than a constitution and a body of law, he's given us his word, the Bible. The King James Bible is the word of God in the English language, and you can read it and you can learn about God's goodness beyond just the blessings that he has, the temporal blessings. But you can learn that his mercy endureth forever, because God took on the form of a man. And in the person of Jesus Christ, God himself lived in this world a perfect life without sin. And he went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for your sins and my sins. Why? Because he loves us and he wants to be able to have mercy on us. You know, the holiness of God cannot allow sinners into heaven. The love of God wants us to be able to come there, but the holiness prevents it. Well, what's the solution? It's the mercy of God. And the mercy of God, Jesus Christ, came to the world, and he sacrificed himself. He who knew no sin became sin for you, became sin for me. And as he shed his blood upon the cross, he died to pay for our sins. He was buried, the Bible says, and rose again the third day. He rose victorious over sin and death. And the Bible says that if you'll recognize your sin, confess your sin, if you believe that the wages of sin is death, and admit to God and to yourself that you deserve hell because of your sin, none of us measure up, none of us are good, no, not one, the Bible says. We all deserve the wages of sin, which is death, more than just physical death, but spiritual death, the death of the soul being cast into hell and into the lake of fire for all eternity. But thanks be to God, his mercy endureth forever. And again, this is repeated in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. If you'll confess your sin to the Lord and recognize, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, paid for your sin on the cross at Calvary with his own blood. If you'll believe that he rose from the dead, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, meaning you'll experience the mercy of God and your sins will be forgiven. That brings us another aspect of God, his mercy endureth forever, but also there's his grace. Somebody said, grace is getting what you don't deserve and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. But because of the grace of God, you can experience his mercy. And as the Bible says, he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. When you put your faith in Christ, he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you put your faith in Christ, the Bible says that God himself, through the person of his Spirit, will take up residence in you, and you will be sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. Friend, If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hope you'll consider that, especially as we think of the things that Thanksgiving represented and giving thanks. What better to give thanks unto the Lord for than the fact that He is good and His mercy endureth forever? I want to thank you for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. And like I said, our Friday night Bible study is on tonight, and we look forward to seeing you if you get a chance to come out. God bless, and again, hope you had a great day yesterday, and join us next time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.